Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. We're right in the midst of hurricane season, June 1st to November 30th, so that means it's time to talk to you about being prepared. But this time, we're switching it up a bit. We're talking to JEA about the lessons they learned during Hurricane Matthew. Today, I'm joined by Jerry Boyce, a spokesperson for JEA. Jerry, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. You know, I think you're a repeat offender on this show.
Yeah, I love doing this show. Anything that we can do to talk to our customers and let them know what we're doing or what they can do, especially while we're in storm season, is always a good thing. So always ask me and you know I'll be happy to come on with you.
So let's talk about storm season. Let's first of all talk about what JEA learned from the last storm, Hurricane Matthew.
You have to see these storms as being a good thing and a bad thing. Of course, we were so fortunate with Matthew. Had it taken the turn, had it not taken the turn that it did to the east, we would be in a completely different situation even today, months after the storm. And that's what we need to think about. We prepare year round, and we want our customers to. Now, I said there was a good thing with storms and a bad thing with storms. One of the very good things with storms is by going through a storm, you learn things that you don't even think about when you're going through exercises. And so we take it as an opportunity. What did we do well? What could we do differently? And then we immediately start improving. And we hope that our customers do that as well. What went really well for you? Did you have your hurricane kit in place? Did things go the way you wanted them to? And what could you change a little bit? So let's talk about some of the things that we could do better.
Okay.
One of the things that we're going to do is we now have drones, and we actually have 4 JEA employees who are certified to operate drones. And you say, oh, Jerry, why do you need drones? Well, think about after the storm, and this is what happened to us last year. We did not know the extent of the damage in some of the areas. And what's really kind of interesting, in some areas, there wasn't even a leaf on the ground from the storm. In others, it looked like a war zone. Trees everywhere, debris. It was just incredible the amount of damage. For instance, Mandarin. I don't know if you had the opportunity, but Scott Mill Road, Mandarin Road, Holy Hannah, just tons of damage. And we need to know before we send the crews out or anything, what is the extent of the damage so that we can better monitor mutual aid, equipment, and everything else out there. So we're going to put drones up now after a storm to go through our service territory to get a bird's eye view of the tree damage and the line damage. It's also really good for us to look at our assets or our buildings. Think about all the substations we have and lift stations. If we can't get there readily, we can put a drone up and it'll give us that really good view of what needs to be repaired. So that's one of the things we learned, and we're real excited about the use of the drones. Another thing that we had were the SSOs. All of the lift stations, we have more than 1,000 lift stations, and this is for sewage in our service territory. And the lift stations operated well. The problem was we lost electricity to many of the lift stations. And so when they don't have electricity, they can't operate. And what we've been doing is we've been going through all of these lift stations. We are making them so more reliable. You'll see us trimming trees, vegetation around, so there's less likely to be damage to the electric that's hooked up to or connected to the lift stations. And we're also putting in generators where we can and have generators on standby. So if they do lose power, that we can get them back on to power. Now, what we need to remember is none of our employees were out there during the storm. It was too dangerous. As soon as the storm passed, that's when we were able to deploy and operate. So just like you, when there's a storm, you're going to hunker down in your house or wherever you are.
I'm here at the radio station.
Right. So I'm at work and I spent the hurricane at JEA. But it's not safe for us to be out there. Safety is our number one priority. So we are looking, we called it as soon, even before the storm was over, our CEO, Paul McElroy, said, okay, we've got to have a resiliency plan in place to eliminate these SSOs, or if we can't eliminate them, at least to lessen the impact. And so that's what we've been working on since the end of that hurricane. Another thing that we've already put into place is mutual aid. I know y'all have seen us on the media in the years past. You know, it happened with Sandy, it happened with Katrina. JEA employees, water, sewer, and electric, go to places that have been damaged by a storm, and we help them restore service. Well, the same thing happened to us. We had more than 500 crews from around the country come in to help us restore power, and they were fantastic. It worked really well. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to go on and put in place, so we've got those in place ahead of a storm. So we're not waiting until during a storm or after a storm. We're going to put crews on standby ahead of time from all these different areas, as long as they're not being impacted, because remember, it doesn't make sense to ask a crew from south if they're about to get hit. And we're going to put them on standby so that we can have them readily available to come help us. And, you know, either on the way, we had some that were already here positioned in Jacksonville before the storm, and we're just going to have some more of those crews in place. And we did a really good job with all of the items that were needed, the materials that were needed. Where we could improve is making sure that we have them on, instead of at one part of town, that we have them at different staging sections all over town. So a crew on the south side doesn't have to wait for materials from the west side to come over. And again, it was a great opportunity to see what we did well, what we could have done better. And hopefully we don't have to go through another storm. I don't know about you, but every time they mention a storm forming, I just sit there and say, oh, please do not come this way. And we're just hoping that we do not get a storm. But if we do, that we're able to mark these improvements that we've made and help everyone get back in service as soon as possible.
Yeah, don't come this way for me. And also, I always think about Louisiana because that's where I'm from. So I'm like, please don't go to Louisiana.
No. Really, it would be nice if no one got hit by them. And you know what we need to think about? It's not just, I know when I do these interviews, you know, we tend to talk so much about electric restoration. We need to remember that you need to be prepared for at least a week without power. And whatever, this is what happens, and it cracks me up. We do all these interviews, be prepared to be out of power for at least a week. Power's out 24 hours, and people are saying, why isn't my power back on? You need to understand that just like what happened in Mandarin and certain parts of town, there was so much damage. It wasn't a matter of restoring power. We had to build a new infrastructure. And we had to put in new poles, new hardware, new lines. And if we got hit severely, all bets are off on how long it would take. So make sure that you prepare for the electric side, but remember the water and sewer side. It's so important. You can live without electricity. It's not fun, but you can do it. You cannot live without water. So you need to make sure before the storm even comes that you have at least 1 gallon per person per day. And don't forget your pets and make sure that they have water. And remember, you could be out of water for a week or 2 weeks. And that's why it's so important to be prepared. And then, of course, on the sewer side, you need to make sure that when there's standing water, because we have lift stations and we have more than 3,000 miles of sewer pipe, when there's standing water, this is not water to play in. This is water that can have insects, snakes, rodents and raw sewage. You want it. I know it is so tempting, especially when my son was little, he loved to go walking through puddles. He would go out of his way to go through a puddle. Don't do this because it is so dangerous.
Let's talk about a few of the things that you just mentioned. And one thing that comes to mind when you talk about the puddles and the water, downed power lines come to mind when I think of
that. Right,
and
I'm so glad you brought that up. When you see a power line down, if you look up, there are all these lines up there. Usually the top line, the line over the street light, is the power line. The lines under the street light are the telecommunication lines. So your telephone, your internet, all of those type of lines. That's in most of the cases, but not all the cases. So anytime you see a downed line, it is not the time to go walking up to it. You don't have to touch a line in order to get hurt. Please do not go over it in your car. And this goes too for when you see lines down in trees. Don't decide to go climbing in the tree. You don't have to touch it. And safety is our number one priority. Some of the things that we did differently last year, whenever we have a storm, we work very closely with the city of Jacksonville. And we have what we call a situation room, and we follow a certain order. In some cases, we're going to tell you to call 911. In other cases, we're going to tell you to call the city. Like for Jacksonville, it's 630-CITY is the number. But remember, JEA covers not just Duval County. We cover St. John's, parts of Clay, and parts of Nassau. So make sure that you listen to Julie on the radio and you know what to do. But for now, we're going to say call 911. And so the reason we do that is that our emergency response teams, being JFRD in this area, are able to respond and secure the area faster than we can get crews there. Mm-hmm. And again, please do not touch these lines.
Another thought I had when you talked about safety, the drones, going back to the drones, that's also a safety measure for your crews as well, to send something that, you know, it doesn't really matter if that breaks down or, you know, to send a drone in to survey everything before a human being.
If you think about on a daily basis, the life-threatening situations that our employees could be in, it's unfathomable. And then when you put in a storm situation, it's like it on steroids. And you're absolutely right. Our number one goal is that all of our employees who go to work in the morning go home to their families in the evening. And if I can bring something up,
please,
I'm going to preach for a second.
Go right ahead.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
When you see our crews on the side of the road, there's something called the Move Over Law. And it is a law. It came into effect several years ago. Utility workers are considered to be first responders. When you're going down the road and you see a JEA crew on the side, it is the law. You either have to get in the other lane or you have to slow down to 20 miles per hour. We are seeing people just race by our crews, and it's not only dangerous for you, but it's dangerous for them. So please follow this rule, especially during a storm situation.
That is so important, especially after seeing that the FHP trooper died.
Doesn't that just break your heart?
It does.
And again, it is so important. So remember, it's first responders. And then we're also talking about the utility crews. And really, during these type of situations, anybody. It's common sense and it's basic courtesy, but it could be the difference between life and death. Now, before a storm even comes, a couple of things that I want people to consider. We do not restore power to certain customers before others, no matter what. And it is very important that if you are dependent on life-sustaining medical devices, that you have to fill what we call a special needs form out. This is with the city of Jacksonville. And what it does is it lets you have a place in a shelter. So you could call and say, JEA, I need to have power storm because I need my oxygen. We can't help you with that. So what you have to do is you have to register before a storm comes. So do it now and register with the city of Jacksonville so they know. And that means that you're going to have a place at a special needs shelter so that you can have, because what JEA will do is make sure that we keep the power on and their backup generators at the special needs shelter. Another thing that you need to do is follow us on Facebook and Twitter, so you can get the most up-to-date information. And if you have an account with JEA, now is the time you need to update your email address and your phone number, because we're going to communicate to you through email and through text or phone calls. And make sure you tune in to your local radio station and you have batteries for your radio so that you can listen, because we use the media to help us get our messages. And y'all are so good about that.
We appreciate that. And something just to piggyback off that, it's so important that people have a battery-powered radio. I know it seems like you're going back into the Stone Age, but it's so important because our devices are not battery-powered radios.
That's right. And, you know, we all use our phones. Now, you know, I can't even believe that I don't even think I could go without a cell phone in a day. It would be very difficult for me. You do have to make sure that you keep them charged. Now, I have this really cool thing, and it was from the American Red Cross. I bought it from them. And it is a radio, a phone charger. You have batteries in it, but it also has this wind-up thing, so I can wind it to charge the batteries if the batteries die. Think of those things before the storm, because certainly after the storm, you're not going to have that opportunity. And just a couple of other things. Remember, I said 1 gallon per person per day of water. And don't forget your pets. They're very important. Make sure that you have battery-powered radio and flashlights and plenty of batteries. Mm-hmm. A can opener that doesn't require electricity. That's something we don't think about. And here's something, a couple of things that are just, we're like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Get a tire sealant to repair tires, because what happens is we have so much debris on the roads, and if you go driving around, you could get a flat tire. So you want that sealant. And I don't think people really have. I got rid of my home phone a long time ago. But if you have, you want to make sure that if you have cordless phones, that you have a regular corded phone, because cordless phones will not work when the power's out. Mm-hmm. And again, we have a plan in place. We work on this plan. We go through workshops and simulations, and they say, okay, a storm's coming. This is, what are you going to do? And we go through things. Do that with your family. The worst thing in the world is to go to the grocery store or the home repair place. I'm trying not to use any yes. brand names. And you're there with 500 million other people and the shelves are bare. If you go on and put things in place beforehand, then you don't have to worry about that. I have a little Rubbermaid container, and that is my hurricane kit. I have my flashlights, my batteries, everything in this kit, and I just carry it around with me. I know where it is. And then make sure that you have food in place and think about, what can I eat that doesn't require cooking? Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds gross, but I can eat Le Sueur peas without heating them up. I love them, which is kind of weird, but I do. You can eat Chef Boyardee ravioli and SpaghettiOs without it being heated. You can have peanut butter. Peanut butter and crackers are wonderful. So what I do is I pile up all this stuff and I put it in a Rubbermaid container and I keep it. And if I don't use it, then I donate it. The good thing is that hurricane season is over in November, just in time to donate to the holiday food drives. And I do that with the food. But make sure you have those plans in place. It amazes me how many people, again, after only being out of power, and this is, I'm going to get off track, but that's what I do. So do you know, within 24 hours after the storm passed, we had more than 100,000 of our customers. We restored more than 100,000 customers. Ooh. By the end of 5 days, we had I think around 85 to 90% of our customers back in power. We had in a couple of days all of the schools back in. We work so hard to get everyone back in. Just understand that it could be for some of our customers, it was 1 week. It was 6 or 7 days. And that's what you have to prepare for.
Are there some areas that always lose power? It's like, it's gonna happen. You just need to prepare for it.
Right. And I would say the areas, now what we've done over the last several years is we've worked on a plan to make the system stronger. So we looked at all of our circuits and we said, which are the worst performing circuits? What can we do? And what we did is we did this project. It was called SEMI-5 because we're the government and we have to have acronyms. And we went in and we replaced hardware. We replaced poles. We did a lot of things that would make the system stronger. Having said that, when you have big storms, the areas that are going to be hit the most, A, if there is some type of tornadic activity, I mean, you can't do anything to prevent that. But look at the areas with the tree canopies. You look at Arlington and you look at Riverside and you look at Mandarin. You know, I grew up in Mandarin. My dad grew up in Mandarin when it was just dirt roads out there in the old Mandarin post office. And we love that tree canopy. It's what makes Mandarin Mandarin. But it also is what makes the power go out so much out there because of the trees. So we have to balance the trees and the storms and reliability. Again, safety being our number one priority, during a storm is not the time to go riding around, especially in these areas with the beautiful oak trees, because all it takes is a snap and your truck or your car and you are damaged. So be very careful, not only inside the house, but there's no reason to go around and people watch or storm watch, because it's going to get you into a lot of trouble.
Exactly. And also the authorities will tell you to please stay off the road.
Yeah, they do. They were very effective with that. And that's so important. When we work on the storm, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, we work so closely with the city of Jacksonville, the state of Florida, and all the different entities. We all work together. We have crews in place. And after a storm, their job is to clear the intersections. And so we go in with JFRD and JSO and the city of Jacksonville, clearing intersections to open those up so that we can get help to the places that need to get help. Also, Governor Scott was amazing. He would call and say, okay, what do you need? You know, tell me what resources you need, we'll send them there. So it's not only local, we work with state and federal officials to make sure that we can restore the community as quickly as possible.
Any last words?
Plan, plan, plan. That's three words. It's so important that you have a plan in place and be prepared and pay attention to the local news and the radio stations, because that's where you're going to get your information.
Right. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for coming in again. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you as well for joining us today on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great work week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.